Hello, and welcome to the Rembrandt Parables. I'm Tim Cooper. In today's parable, Rembrandt takes a night shift at a Morton's coffee pub in a rough part of town. It isn't long before he realizes just how dangerous it can be. Fortunately for Rembrandt, he listened to the advice of a mysterious stranger. Please join me as I read The Donut War. The moral of today's parable is found in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice.
They'll pay you double time, said Louis, Rembrandt's general manager.
Why me? Asked Rembrandt.
Take it as a compliment, said Louis. They trust you.
That's what worries me, said Rembrandt.
So you'll do it? Great. I'll let them know, said Louis, patting Rembrandt on the back. Before he could respond, he was swept out of the office and back into the restaurant. He was met by Herbie and Doreen.
What did he ask? Asked Doreen.
I'm taking the night shift at the other place, said Rembrandt. Saying it out loud helped make it sink in.
I'm so sorry, said Herbie. Doreen gave him a consoling hug.
The other place was the other franchise belonging to the family that owned Rembrandt's Morton's Coffee Pub. It sits at the corner of Jackson and James Streets, right in the heart of downtown. To say it's in a rough part of town is an understatement. The restaurant's been robbed 6 times in the last year, twice in broad daylight. 3 of the robberies were at gunpoint, and nobody wanted to work the night shift. Rembrandt would have refused, but he needed the extra money. Double time was too hard to pass up.
I wouldn't do it if you paid me triple time, said Herbie.
That wouldn't even pay for the bulletproof vest. You need to work there.
Doreen was worried.
It's the kind of worry that comes when a loved one goes off to war. It was at this moment when she first realized how much she loved him. Rembrandt left the restaurant under the somber well wishes of his friends.
Be safe, poor dear, said Myrtle.
Don't forget to duck, said Herbie.
Doreen glared at him as she held back a tear.
Only Butch offered him any genuine encouragement.
It'll be fine. It's not that bad, he said.
Have you done it? Asked Rembrandt.
Me? No, never, said Butch.
Rembrandt met Oscar at the door on his way out.
What's up? Said Oscar.
I'm working the night shift at the Jackson Mortons, said Rembrandt.
Why? You got a death wish?
Rembrandt was already on edge when he entered the Mortons on Jackson. The evening staff he was replacing were as menacing as the customers in the restaurant. The evening supervisor was a large, middle-aged woman with pink hair and 2 green tattoo teardrops off the corner of her left eye. Her name tag read Jezebel.
You the fresh meat? She asked.
She and the other girl laughed.
I'm more like the fill-in. I'm just here for one night, said Rembrandt.
That's enough for most people, said Jezebel.
My name is Rembrandt, he said, extending his hand.
I don't care. Just don't wreck the place. Frank will be here at 5. He's the baker. You're alone till then. See ya, said Jezebel. Oh, and one more thing. When something happens, don't be a hero.
Rembrandt felt an ominous dread as the back door slammed shut behind Jezebel. An elderly man entered the restaurant and smiled at Rembrandt.
I'll have a steep tea, please, he said.
Are you new?
I'm doing the owner a favor, said Rembrandt. I work at his other Morton's.
So it's your first night shift.
That should be exciting, said the elderly man. He sat down at the counter next to the coffee machines. A police officer entered the restaurant.
The elderly man stood up and whispered to Rembrandt.
You should give him free coffee, he said.
Why? Don't they pay the police nowadays?
Our store never gives free coffees to the police.
Your store isn't on Jackson Street.
Trust me, said the elderly man with a wink.
What does that have to do with it? And why are you winking at me? Said Rembrandt.
Hello, can I help you?
One large double-double and a large with 4 cream and 4 sugar, said the officer.
You want some coffee with that? Said the elderly man.
I know. It's for my partner. It helps him get him through the night shifts, said the officer.
Rembrandt placed the coffees in a tray and set them on the counter. He glanced at the elderly man, who nodded encouragingly. Rembrandt rolled his eyes.
"No charge. It's on me," said Rembrandt.
"Hey, great! Thanks," said the officer.
"They're free all night, isn't that right?" the elderly man said to Rembrandt.
"Yeah, sure," said Rembrandt.
"Gotta keep you guys well caffeinated."
"That's good to know," said the officer. He took his coffees back to the patrol car. When the door closed, Rembrandt turned to the elderly man.
"What are you trying to do?" he said.
The elderly man got up from his stool. "You'll thank me in the morning," he said, as he smiled and slipped into the night. The evening settled down, and for the next few hours, everything was calm. Rembrandt wondered if the store's reputation was exaggerated. Then the kid entered. Rembrandt figured he was no older than 21. His entrance was as dramatic as you could imagine. He burst through the door so fast, the windows rattled.
"Bartender, set up around for the house. It's on me," he said.
He and Rembrandt were the only two in the restaurant.
"What can I get for you?" said Rembrandt. "You got any booze hiding back there, somewhere back there?" he said.
"Nope," said Rembrandt. He was already praying the kid would leave.
"How about a coffee?" "I hate coffee. I'm hungry. You got anything fresh?" said the kid, as he stumbled into a chair. "You must be pretty stupid to have to work here," he said.
"We have only what you see," said Rembrandt, clenching his teeth. The kid staggered to his feet.
"Hmm," he said. "I gotta use the can."
Rembrandt watched closely as the kid turned the corner to the washrooms. He heard the front door open as two customers entered. Rembrandt served them and they left. He was about to check on the kid when he burst back into the restaurant and sat down. He was laughing all the way to his chair.
"Don't go in there," he said. "I cut the lights and used the force, and I ain't no Jedi."
He burst out laughing. Rembrandt rushed to the washroom to see for himself. It was a disaster. The smell was repellent. Rembrandt's face flushed. He stormed back to the restaurant. The kid laughed harder.
"You should see your face," he said. "You're hilarious."
Something in Rembrandt snapped. "Are you hungry?" he said as he picked up two jelly-filled powdered sugar donuts. In one swift move, Rembrandt shoved the donut in his face, making sure the powdered sugar went into his eyes.
"Here," he said.
The kid flailed and fought back, but to no avail.
"Hey," was all he could say before Rembrandt shoved the second donut in his mouth.
He picked up the kid by his ear and threw him into the parking lot.
"And stay out," shouted Rembrandt.
The kid stumbled to his feet and ran away. Immediately, Rembrandt felt regret. He shouldn't have lost his temper. He returned to the washroom to reassess the catastrophe. Suddenly, he didn't quite feel so bad about losing his temper. After 90 minutes of diligent effort, the washroom was back in shape. It was the quietest part of the night. Rembrandt hadn't seen a customer in 2 hours. He sat down and flipped through a jewelry store catalog. Rembrandt stirred at the sound of the door opening.
"Evening, what can I get you?" he said, even before he looked up.
He was met by the kid and two of his friends.
"Don't get up, we'll serve ourselves," said the kid.
His two friends jumped over the counter, blocking Rembrandt's escape. The kid grabbed several donuts.
"Since you did such a nice job of serving me, I thought I'd return the favor."
One guy grabbed Rembrandt from behind and the other held his head still. Rembrandt saw stars as the kid punched him repeatedly in the face.
"Do they taste good?"
"Yum," said the kid. The door to the restaurant opened again. Everyone froze. Through one blurry eye, Rembrandt could make out the image of two uniforms.
"Free coffee for the police," said Rembrandt.
"That's why we came," said one of the officers. "But first, we'll give you a hand."
The baker arrived at the restaurant to discover the flashing lights of several police cars. Rembrandt was slouched at a table, nursing a black eye.
"What happened?" the baker asked Rembrandt.
"Three guys beat me up."
He looked up at the baker. It was the elderly man from earlier in the night.
"Frank, right?" said Rembrandt.
Frank smiled. Let me guess. The officers came expecting free coffee and saved the day. Something like that. Frank sat down across from Rembrandt and flipped through the catalog. He looked closely at the earmarked pages. Is she worth all this aggravation? He asked. How did you know? Said Rembrandt. He shook his head. Why am I such a fool? Frank smiled. I wouldn't be so hard on yourself. The way of a fool seems right to him. But a wise man listens to advice. You listened to mine tonight. According to Proverbs, that makes you wise, said Frank. If you say so, said Rembrandt. If you'll let me offer one more small piece of advice. When it comes to young ladies and jewelry, wait for the Lord's guidance, he said. You can't beat perfect timing.
Thank you for listening to The Donut War. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed producing it for you. Good day and God bless.